Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Mac Show. I'm Jeff Gamet. I'm your interim host, sitting in for Ewan Rankin. And it's Friday, so I have many reasons to have a smile on my face, not just because it's Friday, and not just because we started recording the show, but also because I get to hang out with all of these awesome people, and all of you too. And that just makes it a fantastic day for me. And my guess is we probably have a few things to discuss today. And for that, I suppose we can thank Apple for making sure that there's stuff to talk about. And then we can also thank Dave for going to the trouble to actually find all this stuff and then just let me use his show notes from In Touch with iOS. So thank you, Dave.
Happy to oblige.
You rock. All right. Well, then with that, Dave, how are you?
I am doing great. It's Friday. It's exciting. Get to be with you guys, and absolutely beautiful day here in the Chicagoland area. We're going to be close to 80 degrees, which I'm pretty excited. So we're going to have some. I was in South doing an errand this morning. It was absolutely beautiful. I'm in shorts and enjoying the weather, and happy about how well Apple did, and that continues to excite us, and looking forward to a good conversation.
Awesome. And Chuck, how are you?
I'm doing great, Jeff. I'm doing great. I'm back here with you guys, and that just makes life worthwhile.
You know what? I can't argue with that.
Yeah.
By the way, I don't know if everyone knows, you've been posting all of your videos from NAB, and there's some great stuff. So people need to be going and checking that stuff out.
Yes, they do.
Yeah, there's a story behind this week that I won't bother everybody with. But bottom line is, usually I release these a little bit more expediently and a little more rapidly. And they've been dragging out a little bit longer this time, purely because of some circumstances of mine. But they're all going to get out. And yeah, Jeff, you're right. You know, there's some great visits with new friends and old friends, some really interesting conversations, some great products. My only regret is that there were still a whole lot that I would like to have gotten to that, you know, unfortunately, you only have a limited amount of time, and that's a big show floor to organize things in. But yeah, what's there is a lot of fun.
Yep. And, I feel your frustration. It's same thing at CES, and I remember every year after I finished posting everything, seeing stuff other people were posting, and I'm like, how did I miss seeing that? Why didn't anyone tell me about this?
Exactly.
Yeah. Well, thanks for being our pro on the floor and talking with everyone and getting your videos out.
Take it any way you want, Chuck.
I am okay with that.
That could go a lot of different ways. So I think I'll just let you go on and introduce the next panelist, please, quick.
All right. Fair enough. Moving on from being a red shirt to joining the science teams. Ben, how are you?
I am great, Jeff. Feliz Cinco de Mayo.
Yes, that's right.
It is. May the 4th be with you to the Cinco de Mayo.
That's right. Yeah. So for those of you that may not participate in Cinco de Mayo celebrations, this is actually a really big thing in the U.S. And we will be celebrating with tacos, street tacos, hopefully. Ooh. And there will be parades and hopefully margaritas in the mix somewhere. Nice, yeah. Mexican lagers. Yep.
It's basically the Mexican equivalent to St. Patty's Day.
Yep. I mean, and that's a good way to sum it up.
Yeah. Yeah, I like that. Yeah. So, Ben, I know you already started off the day by showing off your Taco John's breakfast. And,
I did the most. I celebrated in the most Midwestern white guy possible. I got my Taco John's through free coupons.
Sometimes this country is a beautiful place.
Oh, well, Taco John's here.
Yeah, Taco John's is a Midwest thing. It has bled into Colorado, well, a long time ago. If you know where to look, you can find like the three Taco Johns in Colorado, and one of them is it Fort Collins or the north end of Loveland? I can't remember now. Anyhow, it's far enough north of me that it's in that blended area of, is it Fort Collins or is it Loveland? Mm-hmm. Yeah. What I remember is it's right near the cemetery, for whatever that's worth.
Being Taco John's, it should be right by the bathroom.
Probably that too. Yep.
Yep. Right by the bathroom and then the cemetery?
Possibly.
Maybe have an hospital. Maybe have an hospital in between.
Yes.
Yep. And our special guest today, Patrice, how are you?
Thank you. Yeah, I'm doing okay. It's one of those days where there's like not just one thing happening, it's like multiple things. I'm dealing with some IT issues all day, and mm-hmm. I had to run to the pharmacy this morning to get like a prescription ordered and all of that. So yeah. It's been a day, but it's really nice weather. It's spring and I'm happy. So I'm happy to be here.
Awesome. If it's any consolation, Patrice, I got an alert just a minute ago that I should consider closing some apps on my M2 MacBook Pro.
Wait, what?
Because, because of resource usage.
How?
My fans are not running.
No.
And yet, okay, to be fair, I have a 34-inch display, and when I command tab, the app bar that pops up does fill almost the entire width of the screen. That said, mail's running. Well, okay, that explains it.
Okay, that explains it.
That explains it.
Or are you using Chrome? It could also be.
I do not have Chrome installed on this computer.
So then that's not it. Then it must be me.
But you do have Bing installed on that computer.
I do, because I have Edge. I'm running Edge. So Bing is on this computer.
I'm sorry. Yeah. I'm sorry. I meant
Edge is Microsoft Chrome.
Yeah.
Yes. Without some of the resources that Chrome throws in that really annoy me and also screw up my computer.
Yeah. How much RAM, Jeff?
16.
16? Okay. That's unusual. It's not, I mean, yeah. I've seen it before. I just, it happens so seldom. You almost have to really try to get there.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And I'm pretty sure it's mail. That's the problem.
Yeah. Because, I mean, swap is so fast on those that it's like almost having a terabyte of RAM.
Yeah. And I am not maxing out the physical RAM even with everything that's running.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Of course, I just launched Activity Monitor. And let's look at on my computer at what's eating all my resources right now. Much to my surprise, it is not mail, it is Zoom.
Is Zoom using 70 gigs of RAM again? Because I've had that where it literally something went wrong. It was starting to just eat up everything it could get.
Let's see. Memory. Let's take a look. Wait, no. Let me sort from highest podcasting to lowest. Wow. Oh, apparently I have left Mac Whisper running. It is currently using 1.07 gigs of RAM.
Okay, that's not a lot.
No.
Yeah, Jeff, are you using the Apple Silicon version of Zoom?
I should
How
be.
How do you even know?
Because when you go to download, you can choose.
Yeah. Okay, that's a fair point. I probably did
that. Yeah. And there we go. All right, so there we go. Let's stop Mac Whisper just because.
Just because.
All right.
Is this a Mac ASMR tool? Yeah.
So just so everyone knows, here's how much I'm living on the edge. When I tabbed over to Mac Whisper, it said, hey, there's an update. Do you want to install it? And I'm like, yeah, sure. So I just installed it, relaunched Mac Whisper, and then quit it.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Like, yeah. Hey, this Windows Server is using a lot of memory. I should kill that.
Right?
No, don't.
Windows Server is actually using a lot of memory.
Yeah, don't kill that.
But Patrice, it would free up so much memory.
Oh, it would free up all of it.
Yeah, I mean, what could possibly go wrong?
It would also free up all the watchers and listeners' time too.
Yeah. Oh, right.
Yeah. Yes. That too.
All right. Well, now that we're done updating software on my computer live, we should probably hit the obligatory story. Mm-hmm. And I will preface this with, I am apparently sometimes so out of the loop on Apple News that I didn't even know that Apple had done their earnings report call until I checked the show notes for In Touch with iOS last night as I was connecting to In Touch with iOS. Mm-hmm. So yes, Apple, their Q2 earnings report was yesterday. And thanks to Jason Snell's awesome work of just putting all the charts and stuff together, there's a link in the chat to sixcolors.com, so you can see everything. 94.8 billion in revenue, so they beat expectations. Mac revenue was down 31% to 7.2 billion. Wow.
Let me summarize it for you. Apple once again made all the money, and it's still not enough.
Yeah, yeah. There you go.
Yep. And they sold all the Macs last year.
Mm-hmm. Yep. So yeah, well, 7.2 billion for Macs. iPads down 13% to 6.7 billion. There are companies out there that would be just ecstatic to have a whole year where they bring in 6.7 billion. And that's what iPad sales were down to. Let's see, iPhone up 2%, 51.3 billion. And services, an all-time high for the company. I say all-time, that applies only until next quarter when there will be a new all-time high, 20.9 billion. And wearables down 1%, 8.8 billion. There you go. So that's the basics for the numbers, and I would love to get everyone's take on Apple's amazing quarter, where, as Patrice said, it still isn't good enough for some people.
Yep. When it comes to this, phones are relatively stable in their upgrade cycle. The M1 Pro and Max and Ultra were such a large leap that pretty much everybody except for Jeff upgraded in the last 18 months prior to the M2 Pro MacBooks. And the iPad Pros I mean, pretty much the same story as the Max. There's not... Due to OS limitations, there's really no functional difference between the M1 and the M2 iPad Pros.
Mm-hmm. I'm still not running Apple Silicon on my iPad Pro.
Yeah.
Because they're that good. I haven't had a compelling reason to buy an M series iPad Pro yet.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, the one in my fourth generation Air. The power that A14 processor, it was the A14, it is powerful enough to comfortably run Mac OS. It's probably faster by a pretty good margin than the last generation of Intel MacBook Air.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. And as far as the watches go, this is pretty much indistinguishable from the Series 8, and the Series 6, 7, and 8 use essentially the same chip with customizations.
I would also move on to the biggest news of it all was the services. $20.9 billion in the and they have almost a million subscribers now on all the services across the board, which is frankly amazing. I think the services, if anything, is going to expand. And go on Apple's website today as we record this. You know, they're now touting arcade, and there's a lot of games. They'll try to get that service to push ahead. Apple TV Plus has just been a knockout success. There's some just great shows. You know, and add all the services onto it. You know, the iCloud and Fitness Plus. You know, Patrice, you're a big Fitness Plus user. That's that's a great service.
Hoping for more features.
Yeah, more services. I think they will continue on to add services as AI gets more into Apple. I think that's going to expand whenever we get whatever glasses they've been talking about for the last 2 years. There's going to be another service available that they're going to be able to tap into. I think just the services space, I think is going to be one, two, iPhone services, and then everything else. I think that you look at that pie chart that shows the breakdown, 54% of for the iPhone, and you're almost you're getting close to 20% on services now. So
yeah it's 22%. So how long before we can say a full quarter of Apple's revenue is made up just from services? I mean, does that happen this year?
They've been pretty constant, so yes, it's going to happen this year. Like their growth has been very, very constant over the years.
Yep.
Yeah. Really interesting. Yeah. Like they add about $10 billion a year in revenue.
Yeah. Yeah. If it were detached from the iPhone and the rest of Apple, Apple services would be one of the largest entertainment companies in the world, with Eddie Q being one of the premier entertainment executives. He's just absolutely killing it in services.
And it's just another division in Apple.
Yeah.
Yep.
Yeah. Jeff, go ahead, Patrice. Sorry.
Yeah, I wanted to say they've also had across the board double digit growth in the active devices category, which, given how long Apple has sold devices and how many there are, is quite interesting. I mean, like, there are over 2 billion now, and they're still growing double digits, which means like the devices are not like getting just replaced. There's more people being added all the time, because replacement would just be, okay, one device gets added and one gets removed.
Right.
So what I hear from all of you, and I agree, is that just across the board, you know, Apple is firing on all cylinders. You know, not everything necessarily is up. You know, they're, as we said, the iPads are down a little bit, but this is just a company that, and it's interesting because we all have criticisms of Apple every week on our respective shows. And yet, you know, at the end of the day, these are still some of the best products out there and people, they're products that people want. I don't know if any of you listened to the earnings call, but I did. Yeah. And one of the things I really love Tim's answer, you know, that and I'm going to paraphrase gently just because I don't have the actual quote in front of me. But basically he said, you know, where are your opportunities? What could you be doing better? And Tim said there are opportunities everywhere. You know, we could be doing everything better. Mm-hmm. I love that attitude because it says to me that in spite of what we might think or pontificate on, they're not sitting on their laurels.
No, they have not perfected everything where they can just sit back and say, okay, this is the perfect X, like whatever it is, the perfect production, the perfect store, the perfect phone, like first perfect service. They haven't perfected anything really.
Yeah. Ben, to your point on the watch, you know, okay, you're right. You can't really tell them apart, but you know, right now you don't need to tell them apart. You know, they're introducing new models. They introduce a new feature along the way, usually, you know, one kind of tentpole feature for each edition or year or model. And, you know, that's fine. It may not be something that will cause you to upgrade. On the iPads, I did want to mention, too, one thing. In the interview I did with Chris and Terry from LumaFusion, or LumaTouch, excuse me, about LumaFusion, they just introduced multi-camera capability editing on your iPad. Okay. And I can't remember if Chris said it on camera or off, but he and I just specifically talked about it. And he said, with the M2 iPad, it's just amazing what can be done. And so, you know, that's where I look at the iPad and people say, oh, you know, same form factor, same this thing, that. Yeah. Okay. And this goes to, this comment goes across the board. Not every upgrade or even every product is for you or for me. You know, and that's fine.
Because the devices are also expensive enough that bar some, like, let's say select few crazy people like us who might buy or might want to buy every generation, most people don't, and Apple knows that. Like, Apple is fully aware that, like, some people, I don't know, replace an iPhone every 3, 4, 5 years, and they know that. And for those people, it does not matter, because over the time that they look at, the changes have been significant enough that that it's fine.
Yeah.
And Patrice, you make it a great point that during those 2, 3, 4, 5 year interim, they're just being dug deeper and deeper into the Apple ecosystem. So the odds are less and less that they're going to say, after that many years, I'm going to go rebuy all my apps on another platform. I'm going to learn another platform. I'm going to set another platform's phone up to personalize it as much as I've personalized my iPhone. Yeah. Not going to happen. Not going to happen.
Exactly. Yeah.
I mean, most people don't like change, period. The fact that they have to change a phone in itself is a problem. So, like, I know of plenty of people who, like, I mean, if the phone was working for 10 years, and they wouldn't upgrade.
Sure.
Yeah. Yeah.
And for, like, or if the carrier wasn't offering them, like, a basically free upgrade, they wouldn't do it.
Yeah. And Apple has really leveraged that fact well, that when you do transition, basically your phone is your phone. You know, it doesn't matter if it was last year's or 3 years ago, you transition over and your phone looks like your phone. It retains most of the settings. You do have a little bit of security to go through, but you know, they make it as painless as they possibly can to do the upgrade. And
to
so,
the point that even the name stays the same, and that for me it causes some confusion. It's like, okay, I have two devices with the same name. Which one was the correct one now? Which, I mean, for most people, totally fine. Like, they don't see that ever.
Yeah, Apple ruined the old joke, new phone, who dis?
Yeah, because the new phone is the old phone. No, and Apple says that, like, they're adding more and more people, and there's a significant chunk of people still new to the platform or new to the at least device category. Like, sometimes it's okay, they had an iPhone before, now they bought a Mac or something like that. But they very rarely lose people. I mean, it does happen, and they say so, but it's very rare.
And usually there's a specific reason that somebody would move across in the other direction.
And there's nothing wrong with that. Like, if you're not happy, if it's not for you, if it's too expensive, which I can totally understand for some people, I don't know, if all your friends are on Google Pixels and you want to be on Google Pixel and you're okay with switching, go for it. Like, nobody's going to stop you. That's totally, totally okay, and a totally okay move. And sometimes you might not have a choice. Like, I don't know, like, your company just decides to switch from Android to iPhone or from iPhone to Android. Like, what are you going to do?
You're going to use whatever phone they give you.
Exactly. Yeah. So that's totally okay.
Yep. So Dave, you brought up services and arcade. So we should hit on that because yesterday, day before, maybe yesterday, crap, I can't remember. Within the very recent past, Apple made an announcement that they added a ton of new games to Apple Arcade. When I say a ton, it's like what, 20 or 30 new games? Still, that's a lot. And it's such a big thing that apparently that it's even now the homepage on the Apple website. Yep. And I'm trying, you know, what I should do is go get the press release, because that probably lists all the games that they added.
Yeah.
Let's see.
Yeah. But you don't have to worry about any of them except TMNT Splintered Fate.
This Macworld article should have a list here.
Oh, great. Thank you. So I want to look and see if there's anything in the list that actually matters to me. And when I say that, what I really mean is, am I really actually interested in any of the games? Scroll down.
Yeah, it's got, this one has 150 games are available, but it, and it shows the dates, so you kind of have to eyeball. And unfortunately, this didn't have. But there's as you go through this list, it's A to Z. There's some that are interesting, some that are meh.
Well, okay. Yep. What I like is that, that's your response, Dave, because that tells me there's a nice variety of games.
Right.
So there's a higher likelihood that there will be something that's of interest to more people.
Absolutely. You can't please everybody. There's going to be something here that might be interesting to some people and to others not.
Mm-hmm. Let's see. So there's Splintered Fate, Cityscapes Sim Builder. Actually, that one interests me. And that one will interest me for about 3 days. And then I'll get so frustrated and then I'll be out. But it will interest me. I enjoy I've played Cityscapes on, Steam?
Yep.
And I really enjoy it until I'm like, you know what? Building the infrastructure, like laying the pipes under the city and all that, that suddenly turns into super annoying for me. And then when I try and build like an eco-friendly walkable city, it just never works because it's designed to build cities with streets everywhere. Anyhow, there's chess, some new Disney games, farming simulator. I can see where that would be interesting to. Anyhow, so I'm looking at all this and I'm feeling like this is the same thing that we see with the other part of their entertainment, you know, the TV and movie content that Apple makes, where there's going to be a vocal minority that says it's all garbage. There's nothing on the platform that's worth having. Apple needs to get out of that space. And then the rest of the world is going to find all kinds of stuff that they like in this platform. And they won't like everything, but they'll like enough.
Yeah, this sort of goes to my point. And we were talking about this a little bit pre-show. I have less than zero interest in Apple Arcade or Apple's gaming platform. The aspects of Apple and their platforms, except for the fact that it's adding to services. But Apple is constantly developing new things. And again, they're not for everyone. So this one doesn't do anything for me. I'm aware of how important it is to Apple because we follow Apple the way we do. But other than that, I would never need to know about this and it wouldn't make any difference. So, you know, and that to me is a sign of a really healthy, far-reaching company that you know, once again, is playing the long game instead of trying to do a quick hit and capture the market. I don't feel like they see anything as necessarily a zero-sum game. They would like to be a major player in everything, and they are in a lot of things. But if they're not, that's okay. They just carve out a little niche that, you know, I think it was Jeff, you or David said, you know, What company wouldn't love to have any one of their divisions as their total annual revenue?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Mm-hmm. Temple
Run. I mean, there are some problems that come with that, because I mean, you're under a lot of scrutiny if you're making this much money. Like, a lot of people want like a piece of the pie and all of that.
Sure.
Like, governments included. So it's not like maybe not the best thing, but mm-hmm. I mean, it's for sure nice.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I mean, they just authorized a $90 billion stock buyback program. Another 90 billion in stock buyback.
And I think, was it 14 cents or 24 cents dividend?
24, I think.
I think it was 24 cent yeah. dividend.
Yeah. Yeah.
So on top of that, so yeah, mm-hmm. I'm with you, Patrice. You know, again, they just keep doing so many things right,
mm-hmm.
in spite mm-hmm. of how much we gripe about it.
Yeah, but I mean, just think about it. They're buying back stock worth 90 billion. That is bigger than, I think, so, quite a few countries' GDP.
Yeah. Oh my God. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, that they're buying back so much stock that if you looked at other companies, like if they were going to do a takeover of a company by buying their stock, they could mm-hmm. actually be buying multiple companies.
Well, yeah, you could have bought Twitter with that twice, right?
Right,
almost twice, almost exactly twice. Yeah, yeah.
What they could buy Elon Musk.
Well, by now probably yeah.
Yeah,
mm-hmm. But I mean, yeah. Why would you want that? I don't know.
As a community service, buy him, put him in,
send him to
put him in a Johnny Ive room.
Oh, that's a good idea.
Yeah. Yeah. All right. Well, let's talk about the love between Apple and Google.
Ooh.
Yeah. Apple and Google.
You're the Barry White.
Yeah. Break out the Barry White. baby, I want to partner with you.
Let's get it on.
That's two songs in a day.
Oh my God! You know what?
This is the
we could just end the show right there.
Yeah, this is the Mac Show version of karaoke here.
Yeah,
Mac Show. See that we have a show title.
Mackie-oki.
Mackie-oki.
Mackie-oki. Yeah.
All right. So Apple and Google, they have been getting it on, and they've been getting it on in the device tracker space. So what Apple and yes. Google did was they partnered and created an industry standard, a spec for being able to get alerts for tracker devices, regardless of the device manufacturer and regardless of the platform that you are running on your smartphone. And
so, Jeff,
mm-hmm.
what you're saying is they're using protection.
Yes. Yes, they mm-hmm. are using protection because they are responsible like that. Unlike Tile, where Tile's been barebacking all along. yeah. Anyhow, so this spec that they created and have now openly shared so they can get feedback on it. It'll let you have an iPhone without extra software and get alerts for any device or any tracker devices that are participating in the spec.
Which is great.
Mm-hmm. And then say you have an Android phone, instead of having to do the thing where you download an app from Apple that you then launch and it tells you if there's an AirTag with you, excuse me, that isn't yours. It just does it. And I think this is great. And I like that all these other device tracker device makers are already stepping up and saying that they're very interested in this because that tells me there's a higher likelihood that they will all get on board and mm-hmm. then we'll have better privacy and security because it will be much easier to know if there's a tracker device with you. Yeah. And I bagged on Tile right at the beginning. Because they're the company that never took our privacy and security into account until after it became an issue for Apple. And they're on board saying, yeah, we're very interested in this. And to that I say, great. And at the same time, are you fracking kidding me? You could have done this before AirTags even existed. And you did nothing.
Could you?
Sure. Because you have Bluetooth. So if nothing else, you could set up a standard, a spec that just uses the Bluetooth part and let people, and you could have done this.
I mean, maybe something. Well, okay, they could have done something. I'm not sure they could have done this, because this, I mean, the reason why Microsoft and why Apple and Google are doing it is because they are the device, the most prevalent device manufacturers. And they have possibilities that Tile would not have. I mean, honestly, that even Apple didn't have on Android. Apple couldn't do the thing they did on iOS where it, always scanning. They couldn't do that.
Mm-hmm. I agree with you, but I hedge a little bit on Tile not being able to do this, because as far as I know, they are still the dominant tracker maker.
I'm not so sure.
Because I think Apple has sold maybe they're not selling as many now as they were, but they had at least 7 years lead on Apple, and they were the dominant device, and just by number of devices that are still out there, they probably are still the larger market share.
I'm not so sure. I don't know how successful they ever were. It was a pretty niche market to begin with. I mean, I don't know. They might still have more trackers than Apple, but I wouldn't be so sure by now. As I said, and I'm not defending Tile, because I don't like them. I think they could have done way more on the privacy side, and they didn't care. And there's a lot of issues on their side. I'm not defending Tile. I don't like the company. So it's more that I think Google and Apple doing this makes a lot of sense, because they have the possibilities to do things that the others couldn't. And you needed both. That's what Apple ran into. They couldn't do the things they wanted because Google wasn't on board.
I don't know, but I feel like maybe it's because it was Apple. I mean, to your point about making all the money. You know, maybe it was because Apple, because it became such a huge thing that people are being tracked by AirTags. Oh my God. You never saw a story that where people were being tracked by Tile or really anything else.
Nope.
And so, but at the same time, now it's out in the open. It's very public, and people were aware that they could do it. And interestingly, they could do it as part of the Apple ecosystem. And so the fact that Apple stepped in and said, wait a minute, you know, this is something that we don't want to be associated with. So we're going to try to take some steps to mitigate the problem.
Yeah. And I mean, on the other side, I think Google sees a business here. Google saw that the AirTags are quite successful. They're, I think, selling quite well. People are using them all the time. We had stories when luggage got lost in whatever, some airport somewhere, that people could find it. And I think Google wants to sell their own version of it. I'm pretty sure. So
watch this.
I mean, Google I/O is coming up and the big Google announcements. I wouldn't be surprised if Google wasn't releasing something.
Yeah, now that you say it, I can totally see it.
Yeah. I could
tell. And if you buy a Google tracker, then whatever happens to you, you deserve.
To be fair, if you're running an Android phone, you already have a Google tracker.
Actually, that's true. You have a Google tracker.
Good point, Jeff.
There you go.
You can also count on them discontinuing it and leaving you dry within 20 months.
That is the other problem, yeah.
They're very famous.
But right now, I think this is no coincidence that this is happening. I mean, sure, Apple probably pushed it, as you said, Chuck. I totally agree. But I think Google also sees the business model for them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I should say a business opportunity, rather.
Mm-hmm. It wasn't in this article, but I read another one that I think, you know, that yes, these are the two companies, but I think that everybody's cooperating, which is really great to see. Tile, mm-hmm. Chipotle, Apple, Samsung. Google, you know, Samsung, mm-hmm. everybody has recognized that this is an issue, and we're going to try to do what we can to, you know, make it so that it isn't as big an issue. Mm-hmm. I'm not sure it ever will be a zero issue, but you know, we can do something to try to cut down on the people that are misusing the technology.
And these other companies, this is in their best interest. I mean, like,
yeah,
Jeff, we have many rants about Tile. I mean, no excuse that Tile did nothing about this all these years. They're a small company, but Apple is a big company. That it's easier to attack Apple than it was to attack Tile. Mm-hmm. But all these other companies that are coming on board with their trackers with this and recognizing it, I think is just a smart move mm-hmm. on their part.
Yeah. I mean,
I agree.
Yeah. I mean, at this point, if, you know, Tile wasn't a part of this, they wouldn't be able to use the past excuses of they're a small company.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
Not anymore.
Yeah. No excuses there. So yeah, I'm glad that Apple and Google are partnering up and, mm-hmm. And doing this. I'm also glad that TSO Host has partnered with us because TSO Host is giving us the bandwidth we need and the hosting space we need so we can live stream shows to you every single week. And we have a place for the website to live. So you can go and check out what's going on with shows and see the schedule. And so there's a place for the show files to live. So when you're ready to watch or listen to it, past episodes, they're just there ready and waiting for you. Without their support, we wouldn't be able to do this because the resources it takes are beyond our means. And they're just being generous by giving us what we need to do this. And it works out great because this is the kind of thing that they are so good at. And so much so that that our website doesn't crash. Our streaming doesn't falter. When you go to download an episode, it just works. It's amazing that this is a company that I think about all the time, while at the same time not ever thinking about, because I don't have to worry that we're going to have problems with the infrastructure that they're giving us. It just works. So what are they asking of us in return? Super easy. Just go online and thank them on your favorite social media platform for being here and supporting the British Tech Network. Super easy to do. Now,
you mean like I just did?
Like mm-hmm. like Ben just did, because Ben is that awesome. Okay, there we go. Got a little more tea in me, and now I can keep singing their praises. Okay, so let's say that you want to be like the British Tech Network and have your website hosted on TSO Hosts. You can do that. Let's say you even need to get a domain name. You found the perfect domain name. You can do that with them. Just add your domain name to your cart, add your hosting package to your cart, and then add the discount code BTN20, and you're going to get 20%. Your cart. Yep. And you're going to get 20% off everything in your cart. And so, yes, they are offering a 20% discount to all of you just because you're BTN fans. So thank you to TSO Host for being here and supporting us. And now I'd like to ask today's special guest, Patrice. Why is Patrice our special guest?
Because I don't know.
because she made a special appearance at the end of the introductions while everyone else was already here. So today's special guest. And so, Patrice, would you tell people where to find the chat, please?
Of course. So if you're listening to this live and you want to join our live chat, which you can do, you can join this live when we're recording, which is every Friday 4 p.m. UK time for the Mac Show, And also, by the way, Thursdays, 7 p.m. UK time for the Mac show. Sorry, for the big show, if you're into the non-Apple side of things. And yeah, show times sometimes change. So yeah, check our website or our social media, like, for changes. Doesn't happen very often, but it does. And then once we're recording, or a Slack room. Yeah, if you're in there, mm-hmm. like, not everybody is. Like, this is not free for everybody to join. So yeah, website is easier. And then yeah, when we're live, you join us at chat.britishtechnetwork.com, and then you can talk to all the awesome people in the chat and see all the links and all of that. But let's say you are listening to this in the recorded form, which is totally fine. Like, in your favorite podcast player of choice, maybe while you're, I don't know, in the shower or on a walk or driving, or all right, however you enjoy consuming this awesome content, the awesome musical edition of the show. Mm-hmm. That's for today. You can still get to all the links and, like, see at least everything that was talked about. Of course, you cannot live chat anymore. That's unfortunately done. But at least you can still see, like, everything and click on the links and all of that. And in order for you to find that, you head over to britishtechnetwork.com/chat. And then there's a little calendar that pops up where you have to select a date, and you select today's date as we are recording this, which is Cinco de Mayo, May 5th, 2023. Mm-hmm. May 5th, 2023. And then you will see everything that we talked about.
Awesome. Thank you for doing that. Which sets us up for a bunch of links now for cool mm-hmm. things. So I was about to say, who has the first cool thing? And
of course, it's Ben.
It's Ben. And I'm clicking the link just to see what I'm about to discover. And it Silo. Oh my God. I didn't know about Silo until last night. And I fear that I'm going to be completely committed to this show.
Me too.
Yeah.
Ben, tell us about Silo.
So it is a dystopian future show where a group of humans lived inside a refuge silo. Essentially, there's some question of whether the Earth is still uninhabitable and whether they can go out of the silo or not. But kind of the orthodoxy of this culture is kind of at play there. It stars Tim Robbins and Rebecca Ferguson, who is enough to watch any show.
Mm-hmm. Tim Robbins and, is so good.
Yeah.
Just everything he does, I love it.
Yep. It just looks fantastic. I mean, next to Foundation, this could end up being my favorite show on Apple TV.
Foundation is really well done. Oh, I just
realized so much really good content right now. Like, mm-hmm. that's the yes. problem. Like, that's why I'm like, maybe, but there is so much really good content on Apple TV Plus right now.
There is. They dropped two episodes of season one.
I thought it was three.
No, I thought it was two.
Oh, yeah, that it says May 12th for the episode
okay,
three.
So they do the usual thing where they
yeah.
teaser the next one already. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Nice. Know yeah, what I'm
Patrice,
watch
you're right. There's so much good stuff right
yeah.
now.
I mean, there's like Ghosted, and there's the Tetris movie. There's like a bunch of movies that are really good. There's a bunch mm-hmm. of TV shows. A bunch of shows are coming back. There's like Ted Lasso right now going on still.
Yep. The aforementioned Foundation for season two.
Yeah. There's just so much really good content, good movies, and stuff coming up. Like, there were like at least three or four trailers that I saw where I was like, oh, crap, I have to watch that.
Mm-hmm.
So,
mm-hmm.
yeah, and, yeah, and that is a far cry from where Apple was a few years ago when yeah. Apple TV Plus was just starting. Well, they're getting their legs hit. They didn't want anybody else's mm-hmm. content on their service, so it took a while.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, Carpool Karaoke, and what was it? App? What was the app yeah. thing? Planet of the Apps.
Oh my god, I forgot about Planet of the Apps.
That was so bad.
Exactly. So that but that was the starting point.
Like, that was about that.
But I mean, it's nice to know Apple puts the same care into their TV shows that they do their hardware. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And they're also, no surprise, very, very good at marketing them.
Yes.
Well, not as good as they need to be. Disney and HBO Max, they make sure that I know about every episode that's coming up and every episode that just happened. I mean, it's in my face on social media platforms all the time, but I don't get that for Apple TV Plus.
That is true. I mean, unless you follow certain people like Brett Goldstein, for example.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I don't know. I mean, I saw the reason I know about this show is because I like got ads for it everywhere.
Yeah. Well, don't try to find it in the app. That's a problem. You try to find it in the TV app. Yeah.
Good luck. That's my problem, because that's where I would have discovered this.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah. Really good. Thank you, Benton.
Yeah. So, Ben, thank you for finding another way to take up more of my free time. all right, Dave, tell us about your cool thing.
Well, I have a cool thing. I really love the braided solo loop on the Apple Watch. And I'll give a side story as well as the band itself here, but this is by far the most comfortable band I've ever had. And I know all of us here have lots of bands. I'll be the first to admit I do as well. Probably about 30 or so. This one comes in a bunch of different colors. They have a new color now called Purple Fog, which I kind of like. I think it's a really nice lightweight color. This one here is the Midnight, which I have on the camera here. This is the middle one I just got, but my dilemma was, you know, I have the Series 7 still, so I have the blue watch, mm-hmm. but I want this Abyss Blue band. I couldn't find it anymore because they stopped making it, which is very sad. So I had, this is my original band here. So I didn't understand why my band got so big. And I was like, oh, wow, maybe I lost a lot of weight. And I'm like,
they just get loose.
Yeah. I have that too. I mean, and this proves it, because if I put the two bands together, there's a whole inch gone here now. It's gotten that big when it comes to the band here. So I was kind of surprised, especially at the cost of this, which is $99, that shouldn't be really stretching out. But hey, I'm okay with it. Where did I find this band? Of course, on eBay. It was only $35. I should have just bought that in the first place, but I was at the Apple store and ended up getting the other one too. So now I get the interchangeable ones. But check the band out. I think it's worth it. It's very, very comfortable if you want a very good casual band. And I love the way it stretches and comes out. It's very, and now it's really tight on my arm, and it's not hurting me and not leaving a mark. So it's good. So check it out.
Yeah, I love those bands too. I'm very sad at the Pride loop that they did, I think, like 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's finally too stretchy to wear it. So.
Yep. I guess at least I'm not alone.
So I'd like to point out that there are companies out there that would like to have the annual revenue that Dave spends on his watch bands.
Right? Yeah. Oh, that is true. Yeah.
I will admit they're not. Yeah, they're knockoff ones. But then and then you go on places like Woot, I find look at this. You can get 10 bands for $9. And of course, nothing. They're like a fuchsia pink and the others I will never wear. But
I would.
I mean, I've got my Huckleberry Kizik shoes on right now that people, my wife's always making fun of me wearing, but I didn't mind the color because it's Huckleberry is not a bad color. It's not pink, you know, so it's still masculine. So
Dave,
they suit you. That's all that matters. Mm-hmm. You like them.
Yeah, and thank you for inspiring me to buy an Atlantic Blue solo loop and knockoff while we're on the show here.
So you spent that
money. Well done.
His credit card finally.
I spent your money and it didn't give it to Apple.
So Dave, you bought the pack that has some bands that you won't wear. Yeah. I have done that. And here's the thing. I give away bands.
Like, yeah, that's a good idea.
And so like my band case right now has probably only 15 bands in it.
Probably like 15. And, 20, well, add this package and I'm probably at 25. But
I've had like 30 in there at some point. And I've probably had more than 30 bands since I've been buying Apple Watches. But I'm giving bands away. Like, a friend's like, oh, my band broke. Or I really wish I had a band that was this color. And I'm like, you know, hey, I've got you covered. So it's it's buy a pack like that for the two colors you want. And then the rest, when a friend ends up needing a new band, you've got them covered.
Yep. So you're getting the band back together, Jeff.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's been great having Ben on the show. Let me
Pardon Jeff, that pun.
Jeff, there's something that appeals to me about you giving a band away. Like, you know, here's an Apple Watch band. Go buy an Apple Watch to go with it.
Oh, that's an idea.
There you go.
I like that.
Well, you know, I haven't done it that way yet, but I can.
Yeah, actually, that's how I got my dad to buy a DVD player.
You gave him a movie. Bought him a DVD?
Yeah, for Christmas.
That's very clever.
I like it.
I would do that too.
Hmm.
I've probably done that.
Yeah, you know, now that I think about it, I have probably at some point done that too. For all I know, that's why my parents ended up getting a CD player. Back in the day.
Yep. In fact, I might actually start gifting all my Android owning friends iPhone cases.
Oh, that's an idea.
Oh, that's you know, sure, it's passive aggressive, like, but it's awesome also case. A community service.
Yeah, I got a couple. I have a couple iPhone 13 cases you can have.
Yeah, me too. Mm-hmm. I have even a display. Like, I still have a display protector for an older iPhone. I should give that away and say, hey, here.
Right.
Now you have to buy the phone for it.
I love this plan. That's right.
Welcome to the house of passive aggressiveness.
Right. Passive aggressive upgrades now.
We are the reason Apple stock price is going up right now.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Yep. Patrice, tell us about your cool thing.
So my cool thing is something that I have actually picked before. I checked. I picked it actually 3 months before, like 3 months ago. The reason why I picked this, it's season 2 of Firefly Lane, or the entire Firefly Lane. Say that 3 times in a row. Firefly Lane TV show. It's because Netflix just dropped the last, I think, 8 episodes, and they divided season 2 somehow. It had 16 episodes and divided into 8 episode chunks. Do not ask me why that makes sense. That's how they did it. It's Netflix. Nothing makes sense with them.
True.
Yeah. They unfortunately did the thing that they always do. They canceled this. This was the final season, but they knew that. So that basically there's a book behind it, like, I don't know, 5-10 years old, I think. And they finished the first book. There's a follow-up book that they could have worked on and continued this show, but, you know, Netflix, 2 seasons is enough. So it's a really, really good show. It's with Sarah Chalk and
Catherine Heigl.
Catherine Heigl, thank you. Not Keira Knightley. For some reason, it was like Keira Knightley. I'm like, no, that's not right. Catherine Heigl. Catherine Heigl, who's back. Like, she hasn't done a lot before this, I think, for her own reasons. Like, she decided not to. She's back. And that was... The writing of the show was uneven, I would say. The story in itself was... The acting was really good. Like the production, editing, like everything else, music was top notch. The writing had some issues here and there where I was like, okay, could have done a better job at it. But overall, it was really, really enjoyable. I cried basically the last episodes. I basically just cried all the way through because the whole show is centered around the two characters through the decades. So as kids, like I think. Maybe teenagers, teenage years, and maybe even I think they even go back a little bit younger. Then like in their 20s, in their 30s, and later on also in their 40s. and kind of how their friendship changes as they mature and as they have their own lives and get married and have kids and like all of that thing, have careers. And it's just super interesting because they also, in my opinion at least, capture the decades really well. Like how it was to live in that decade and have a job or whatever, like have a job in television in the 90s, for example. Mm-hmm. And how their friendship wasn't always perfect. There was a lot of, like, they were very close, and at the same time, there were a lot of issues. And it's a really, it doesn't end well. If you've read the book, you know what's happening. Mm-hmm. I'm not going to spoil it. It does not end. It ends beautifully, but it's not the picture-perfect ending that people would expect.
So it's more like a real life.
It's real life, yeah. It is real. And it shows, like, warts and all, like, the issues that happens. And, yeah, it's a really good show. I really enjoyed it. I'm going to, like, add it to my favorites list. Like, I'm going to rewatch it a couple of times probably. It's that good. And I loved Sarah Chalk, so. She's really good in it. And I mean, there's a bunch of actors and actresses because they're like, for sure, like through the time, they can't, like the Sarah Chalk can't play a teenager. That kind of doesn't work very well. And she doesn't. They found a really good actress for that. The funny thing is that Katherine Heigl's mom in the show, so her character's mom, is actually 4 years younger than her.
Oh my god!
In real life, so I'm like, that's an interesting choice. But she does actually look older, so I don't know. It's just, I guess, genetics. I found that really interesting. And I actually already bought the books, so I'm gonna read them because it was this good that I was like, how did I not know that there is a book, and how did I not know about it, and I have to read it right away. So this good.
Cool. And you've talked about season one before. Mm-hmm. So this is on my radar. It's on the list.
Highly recommended.
You mean after you're completely obsessed with Silo?
Right. Well, there's only two episodes so far, so you can do that and then go back. It's all on Netflix now. So if you want to binge it now, you can. Like, that's, I think, the big advantage. And it's like, well, 26 episodes, so it's not so much. 10 okay. in the first season, I think, and then 16 in the second.
Cool. So, Chuck, Dave just cost Ben some money. I'm looking to you to cost him some more.
Well, I'm not going to cost anybody any money this week. And I'm hoping...
How about time?
Well, maybe, let's see, how long is this? 3 minutes and 24 seconds is what I'll cost you. I'm hoping Ben hasn't seen this because this is kind of for him, because he picked Metallica's new album last week. I believe it was just last week or the week before. This is a new, brand new video from a band you may or may not know called Girl School.
Oh.
Have you seen this, Ben?
I haven't, but I know who Girl School is.
You know who? Okay, so Girl School is a band out of the UK. They're turning 45 this year, and this is the first video from the band. The album will be released later this year, called WTF 45. And if you know, there are so many arguments about women in rock. Just cue this up, and I defy you not to love this track. It is just, I mean, I've been a Girl School fan for years, literally mm-hmm. for decades. And they never have gotten the credit they deserve. They never got the success they deserve. Yeah. They've had personnel changes, but this one just snarls right out of the gate and goes the whole way through. This particular track was co-written with a guy named Joe Stump. If you know Joe's work, he played in Reign of Terror, and he's of the thrash school of guitar playing, but this is not thrash. This is just good straight ahead rock and roll. So don't play it now, because then we'll get a tag from YouTube or somebody. But yeah, enjoy.
We're not on YouTube.
Yes, and enjoy this. This will start your weekend out right, I promise you.
Yeah.
I listened to the first couple seconds and then paused it.
Yeah.
And I'm looking forward to the rest of it.
Yeah, I
agree completely with Girl School. They never quite got the recognition their American counterpart Vixen got. But they're excellent.
Yeah, well, that's interesting. I never thought of Vixen as, I mean, I like Vixen, but I never thought of Vixen as necessarily that heavy. I was thinking more The Runaways, Joan Jett, you know, in that genre that I would put Girl School. But, you know, hey, whatever. I mean, at the end of the day, the girls rock. No question about it. So, and they rock at 45.
Mm-hmm. That is just awesome.
So, enjoy.
All right. So, I guess that means it's my turn.
Yep. What Legos do we have today?
That's a really good question. And I intentionally did not go with Lego today because I knew that you would be expecting that, Ben. And I'm actually going with a game, and not even an electronic game. This is analog. It's called Code Names. So it's like a card game. The premise is pretty simple. You have a grid of, I think, 25 cards laid out on the table in front of you. And so you need at least four players for this, because you need to have two people on each team. And so you have these words on the table. One person on your team knows which words are yours. And so you have people that are feeding the clues or the code names. And then you have the people that have to guess what the words are. So the two people that are feeding out the clues, they get to look at the same chart to show which words belong to which team. Okay, so the way you give out the clues, you can do a single word. And then along with a single word, you give a number, which is how many of the cards on the table your single word relates to. And then your team member has to try and deduce from that single word that you gave, which of the cards on the table are yours. And so if you guess right, then you win those cards. If you guess the other team's card, well, then they win for that one. And then some of the cards are like civilian casualties. So if you guess a word that isn't actually one of either team's words, everyone just loses out on that one. And so you run through until all the cards that you have that you lay down on your words are out, and the first team that runs out of their correct guess cards wins. It's a super simple game to play, but it's absolutely addictive. I played it the other night at a friend's house, and when they described it, my first thought was, okay, so this would be like a quick 10-minute game, and then we'll be on to something else. And suddenly it's like 3 hours later, because we'd finish up a round and then just immediately throw down new cards and start again. And it's just wonderful fun.
I'm a big fan of any kind of board game, any kind of card games. I play a lot of games with my friends. Just ordered it. I will have it tomorrow.
Awesome.
So, thank you, Jeff. You just cost me 17 euros. So.
It in the US, it's list price $24.99, but it's on sale on Amazon right now, so I got it for $11.99. They do have other editions, like there's like a Disney edition and some others, but those didn't seem appealing to me because at that point you're stuck in a specific genre, and with the version that I dropped into our link or into our chat, it's called the CGE Czech Games Edition.
Mm-hmm.
And that, so it's just like random words. So it, to me, it was a lot more fun because there is no theme that you can work within.
Yeah, nice. And I'm always looking for new games.
I think you'll enjoy this one.
Mm-hmm, we will. There's so many good card games. There's one board game that I really want to order that, like, it's just so expensive to ship from the US because it's a small company in the US.
Mm-hmm.
So haven't done it yet.
What's it called?
That's a good question. No, I'm blanking on it.
Because what I'm wondering, do I have it? And if not, do I need to get it?
I can tell you. 1 second. It is called Doomlings. Doomlings.
Doomlings game.
Doomlings. I'll send you the link in chat.
Oh, it's on Amazon.
Yeah, there's like a really nice deluxe edition for like $70, but like shipping and taxes and everything, it's like €130 or something. I'm like, that's a bit much.
Yeah. So what you need is to pick up a copy when you come visit, or mm-hmm. if someone from the US comes to visit you, have them bring it over.
Correct. That's awesome. The plan.
All right, well...
So, thank you. Cost me money.
You know,
But well-invested money.
I think so. So, enjoy Codenames. All right. And with that, we've made it through the show. And as crazy as it sounds, I think we were pretty close to rails the whole time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know how that happened. Must have been a total accident.
Luck of the draw.
So what you're saying is we should now, before getting into outros, have a 40-minute discussion about underpants.
Yeah, that's a good idea. Let's do that.
Yeah, we could totally do that.
Well, the first 20 minutes or so did have to do with Jeff's resources.
True.
So
that is true.
Totally changed our demographic there, Chuck.
Yes.
Yeah.
Doing my best, Jeff.
And I do appreciate you. Dave, where can people find you?
Find me at intouchwithios.com or I was on a YouTube channel, youtube.com/intouchwithios. Here on the Mac Show on Fridays. I'm on Mac Voices Live every Tuesday night, 8 p.m. Eastern. And I am on Mastodon at DaveG65 at mastodon.cloud. Thank you.
Awesome. And thanks again for letting me crib from your In Touch with iOS show notes every single week.
Always welcome.
You rock. Chuck, where can people find you?
MacVoices.com is where you'll find everything. We, as Jeff said earlier, I am releasing the NAB interviews. There's a particularly good one today coming from Insta360. We do Mac Voices Live Tuesday nights, 8 p.m. Eastern, 5 p.m. Pacific, whatever time it is, wherever you are, with Jeff and Dave and Ben and Patrice when she stays up late. We'd love to have you join us at youtube.com/MacVoicesTV. And as always, I can be found on pretty much all the major established socials as at Chuck Joyner or at Mac Voices.
Awesome. And Ben, our blue shirt today. And okay, so everyone, I'm pointing this out because on the big show yesterday, Ben was in a red shirt, and we did make a red shirt comment because it was Star Wars, you know, May the 4th.
Yeah. Yes, and I made it very clear that I was not going to die in that podcast.
Well, we did exclude you from the away team.
Yes.
Yeah. So, blue shirt Ben, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me at your social media of choice, except for this new blue sky thing, at Ben Rathig. I'm on most of the major instances on Mastodon. They'll just get me right to my real profile. You can also find me at Rathig.tech. You can find me on Chuck's show, Mac Voices, on Tuesdays, Dave's shows, In Touch with iOS, on Thursdays, and Thursday and Friday here on the British Tech Network without British people.
Oh my God, you're right. I'm looking around. And wow. Yeah. There's some wonderful irony there. Yes.
Yeah, this is a US-based show because, you know, my apartment is also part of the US.
That's right.
So wow. I say, Someone called it once the 51st state. I'm like, yep, makes sense.
Yep.
Yep. Yes.
Yep. I like it. Yeah. Welcome to the ATN.
Yeah.
Yeah. related to that, I love that when we did the April Fool's Day switch to the American Tech Network, that that the attention to detail that went into that, and Patrice, that that's mostly on you. People believed it all the way up until it until we finally fed out enough information for people to realize, oh no, it's April Fool's Day. So that was awesome. All right, Patrice, where can people find you?
Well, you can find me and my awesome mug. I wanted to mention that. It's a unicorn. I think you can find me every week here on the Mac Show on Fridays, the Big Show on Thursdays. If you're into the non-Apple side of things, like the space news and car tech and games and Android and Windows and all of that. You can find everything I'm doing, all the social media links, the podcasts, the projects, literally everything on my website, thepatrice.com. And if you want to listen to really cool people talk about food-related stories and memories, I have an interview podcast called Foodie Flashback at foodieflashback.com.
Awesome. All right. And you can find me on the various socials, Mastodon and Instagram. That's where I'm most active. That's where I'm active. Jay Gambit on both. I'm not on Blue Sky yet. You know, long ago, I added my name to the wait list. And so this is before they were sending out invites, like months before they were sending out invites. I still haven't gotten one. So I am not on Blue Sky. And let's see. Then for shows, as Chuck mentioned, Mac Voices Live on Tuesdays. And then as Dave mentioned, In Touch with iOS on Thursdays. Thank you both of you for letting me on your shows. I'm still amazed that you do. Here on the British Tech Network, Thursdays for the Big Show, and then here on Fridays for the Mac Show. And then, let's see, today is Friday, so later today, Brian Chaffin and I will be recording The Context Machine, and then other shows along the way, too. So, hey, thank you to all of you for being here today. This has been a wonderful way to kick off my Friday and set me up for a great time going into the weekend. And this has just been so much fun. Everyone that's watching or listening live, thank you for being here. If you've been in the chat room, thank you for being there too. Everyone that watches or listens to the recordings later on, thank you for being part of the BTN family. Ewan, thank you just for being you. Muller, thanks for making sure we have people for the shows. And hey, hope you're feeling better soon. And let's see, TSO Host, thank you for being here and supporting us. And with that, join us next Thursday for the Big Show. Don't forget to come back next Friday for the Mac Show. And everyone, have an awesome weekend.